thanks for joining me for Myth and Magic for Modern Times. My name is Jessica, I'm your host, and I'm a healer and a tarot reader, and I created this podcast to shine a light into the subconscious, to look at the stories beneath the stories that haven't been told, the stories that we didn't know we were telling ourselves, archetypes and collective and personal myths, and bring all that forward, that which was once taboo or maybe just unknown, into the light of day in an approachable, grounded, safe container that is this show. Today I am joined by Katie Sloan. She reads the stars and the zodiac, and she's helping open up some of the mysteries of the cosmos a little bit, answering some questions, debunking some common theories about astrology, and really digging into what a birth chart is and how it can benefit you to have yours read. I hope you enjoy the show. Here we go. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you here and talk about astrology.
I'm excited too.
So,
that's my thing.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So tell me more about it, because I follow the moon phases and a little bit. I try to keep my finger on the pulse of astrology, but it's not my thing.
Yeah, it is my thing. I've been practicing it for quite some time now. It's been about 13 years, and I've gone into it full time in the last year and a half. I was a HR manager for a catering company for many years, and I was doing readings on the side, and I made the leap into just doing readings now, and it's been very exciting. I'm teaching some classes, and
oh, that's so brave.
Yeah. So, but I find that the reason that I love astrology is it sort of cuts to the chase. If you look at a chart, most people think that it's just their sun sign that they're reading for, but really, it's the entire chart that adds the flavor. The moon's sign is your feeling nature, and the ascendant is the face that we present the world. It's the way people see us. And so there's a lot more to it than just your sun sign. And really, when you're reading your horoscopes, you should read what your ascendant sign is, because it places whatever's happening in the correct houses and sort of adds the vibe to it.
So you think we should just read our ascendant in horoscopes?
I think so. I think, you know, you can read your moon sign too, but your ascendant is sort of really the crucial one to read. Not a lot of people know what their ascendant is, but you can, if you know your birth time, you can look it up on astro.com and you can get a copy of your chart, and then you can start connecting with your ascendant. So
yeah, which I really recommend to everyone. I want to talk more about some common misconceptions around astrology and the idea that the sun sign, how would you describe it? Like that the sun sign is the only thing you need to know, or maybe just that the sun sign is all that there is, I think is definitely a misconception.
Definitely. Yeah. Because your sun sign also, when you're looking at a full chart, when you're looking at somebody's chart, the sun is oftentimes placed in a house that is not the sun's house. So it's kind of confusing, but it also sort of gives the sun another flavor. You know, just like, for instance, my sun is Scorpio. It sits in Virgo's house. And I also have a Virgo moon, so I feel very Virgo. I mean, I have a lot of Scorpio qualities. You know, your sun sign is when you're standing in your power, it's like you are the sun, you know, whatever like feeds your soul is your sun piece. But there's a lot of Virgo qualities that my Scorpio sun takes on. I'm pretty into health and structure and a lot of order, and I'm a little nitpicky sometimes, but
as a Virgo ascendant to another heavily Virgo influenced person, I don't know what you're talking about. So your sun is in Scorpio, but it's in the house of Virgo. So you shine when you're doing those Virgo qualities.
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, I think there's two elements to it. One is helping people, which is what, you know, Virgo is about. Virgo knows how to help. Virgo wants to help. Sometimes Virgo is a little bit too bossy, but and being in Scorpio,
tell me more about how does tell me right now how does the sun being in Scorpio flavor the Virgo qualities?
Well, to me, I like to get in there with people. So, I think Scorpio is really good at that. You know,
going deep.
They want to transform, and they, you know, and I want to help other people transform. I think that's a lot of it. It's like, let's get to the heart of what's happening, and you know, Scorpio can dig deep. They like the mysteries and they can go there with people, and nothing is too, you know, scary or dark. It's like, I think Scorpio people can hold a lot of space for people because a lot of the times they're the ones who've seen all of it, you know? Mm-hmm. I find that Scorpio people have had a lot of the time, you know, a hard life. And I think that out of that, you sort of can learn to, you can learn to be sort of the shaman without, you know, it's the shaman is like the person who has had the near-death experience or they, you know, they've been down the hole. They can come out and help through their process. So,
yeah. And with Scorpio, from what I understand, being the deepest, being the darkest, the most in the mysteries, where the veil is the thinnest.
Yes.
That makes sense. And that sounds like a really winning combination for a healer, Virgo and Scorpio. So let's go back to reading your ascendant for your horoscope. Can you explain to me more why that's more accurate than reading the sun?
Well, so your ascendant is the start of your chart, basically. Your ascendant is the ruler of your first house. And that sort of, there's 12 houses in a chart. Each one stands for each of the 12 zodiac signs. So when you're looking at a chart, if you start with the ascendant, it places the signs in their appropriate houses. So for instance, I guess I'm a Gemini rising. And so when I read my horoscope, I read Gemini rising. And usually whatever is happening with the horoscope, it just depends on the thing. It sort of offers you the advice of whatever transit is happening in the appropriate house. So it has
something to do with the way, because I actually don't know how people create those horoscopes. Do you know? Can you share that briefly? Maybe not.
I don't know that I can share it briefly. Okay. I think everybody has a different way of creating their horoscopes. I mean, I think that a lot of people base it on what is happening right now with the moon. So, you know, the daily horoscope, the moon, you know, moves into different signs every 2.5 days, every or so. And so you know, they're reading for the sun moving, they're reading for the moon moving, possibly. Sometimes people will read a horoscope for what Venus is doing or a retrograde planet. And then, you know, if you're reading for your ascendant, then wherever Mercury is retrograde at that time, they'll be talking about that particular house.
So they look at, say, what Mercury is doing right now, and then look and see how it's affecting each sign in the heavens, like each house?
Yeah, in the house that it's placed in.
Exactly. Oh, so that does make sense. So you want to look at the house, mm-hmm. Not the planet, when you're looking at horoscopes.
Basically, you're looking at the house, yes. Wow. So when people are talking about, you know, when the people are talking about, for instance, the sun is in Taurus right now, until tomorrow. So if people are talking about Taurus during a Taurus time, they're talking about second house things too. They're talking about Venus things. They're talking about second house because Taurus rules the second house. And that's about values and how you value yourself. And I just have noticed over and over in what I've been hearing lately is a lot about people not valuing themselves or where they, you know, how they should place more value on themselves or their value systems or other people not valuing them. I don't know if you've heard a lot of that in this last month, but that's sort of been the challenges for a lot of people, where you're being stubborn, you know, those types of things that have to do with Taurus. So
yeah, those have been coming up in readings for sure. And a lot of what's been common in readings lately, there have been these common threads, and self-worth, and also like really, really, really doing, like figuring out what you want and setting intentions for it. Mm-hmm. People are working through right now, which I guess is kind of Taurus-y.
It is. And, you know, we just had the full moon in Scorpio over the weekend. And that sort of illuminates where you're giving it away. It's like, what Scorpio is going to dig deep, right? So what are those things that are holding you back? What's the price you pay for hanging on to something, you know? And I think that a lot of people had some clarity about that during the Scorpio moon time.
Yeah, I definitely have. And what I'm working on personally right now is all about self-value and interacting with this aspect of myself that I've discovered, who is holding this story of I'm doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm wrong. And the Five of Pentacles is on my, in my daily draw for the last 2 days right now, which is about feeling unaccepted by others, yeah. Feeling rejected. Yeah. I know that the major arcana relates to energies in astrology. Mm-hmm. Are there minor arcana cards that relate, yes, to astrology as well?
Yes. And they are, they're basically aspects. So I do not know them off the top of my head, but the things that relate to astrology are definitely, they're definitely, you know, of course, Pentacles stands for the earth signs, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you were just asking me?
Yeah.
Major or minor?
Minor. Yeah.
Minor shows the aspects a lot of the time. So it's possible that the Five of Coins could stand for, I'm just making this up because I would have to take a look.
That's fine.
I would say that it would be like Taurus, like a Venus squaring Mars type of thing or something, you know?
No. I have no idea what that means.
Or a Venus squaring Saturn aspect, you know? So it's this feeling of lack, right? Mm. That card, I used to choose that for myself quite often for quite a long time. And every time I draw it, I'm like, oh no. Mm. But yeah, it's definitely about worth and feeling like you're not getting your fair share, right? I mean,
like you don't have enough.
Yeah.
You don't have what you need to be comfortable and to survive. Mm-hmm. And that other people are not helping you, that you are alone in this.
Yes. Out in the cold.
Yeah, right. In the cold.
Yeah.
But the medicine of it is a reminder that you are slipping into that old story or that mindset. You know, that's a contraction, that's fear coming in and being like, oh no, I don't have enough, something's wrong, I'm not being taken care of, my needs aren't being met, mm-hmm. Everybody hates me, whatever it is. And actually, you can breathe through that and realize you're looking for something, that you're in this scarcity mindset.
Right.
And that you actually have everything you need. And so it's a gentle reminder that some part of you is in that mindset, is viewing wow. things that way of lack, mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. to come back into your center, which so many of those scary cards are.
Right. Right. And there's nothing really to fear in any of that, right? I mean,
no. The old school of doing tarot was to say, oh, Five of Pentacles shows up, you're going to lose your house and your job, and everyone's right. going to reject you.
Yes. You're going to be living in a tent in a snowstorm. Exactly.
But that's not the way that I read tarot, or that we're evolving to use these cards to reflect the energies that are around us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's.
And that's a misconception in also in astrology too, you know, if you're having a lot of the time, it was like, we call it astrological paranoia. My friends and I, where it's like, oh, a Saturn transit's coming. Somebody's going to, you know, die, or a Pluto transit's coming. You know, so, but it's, you know, that's irresponsible to, if you were to tell a client that. It's just, I think that's what gives our practices a bad name in a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah, let's talk about that too, about in people's misconception of astrology, because I get a lot of people, not a lot, but I get people who come and sit down for a tarot reading and they say, oh, I'm really nervous. Or afterwards, they'll say, oh, I was so afraid you were going to tell me I was going to die, someone's going to die. And so there's definitely this common idea out there that these modalities have this power to tell you something terrible. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people avoid them because they'd rather not know that something terrible might be happening to them. But that's really not what this is all about.
No, no. And that's, I get the same thing too. I get a lot of the time people will say, I didn't tell anybody I was coming to see you. Or this is really scary, or, you know, and I always tell people, we're not going to go someplace scary. We're going to talk about things that are happening energetically for you. And we all have choices. You know, even I know that there's been times that I've even seen, you know, a psychic medium, or I've gone to all kinds of different people. I have such an interest for it, but, and they'll say, you know, like, take what you need and leave the rest. You mm-hmm. know, for one thing, I think that our readings are supposed to help, right? They're mm-hmm. supposed to encourage people. They're supposed to validate feelings. Mm. You know, and it's,
yeah,
it's
and bring clarity.
Like a counseling session, you know, where you're cutting to the chase of something and getting to the heart of it and opening up a dialogue with people to help. And I would never say something to somebody, even if someone asked me. That's why I don't like when people say, when will I find the love of my life? I have no idea. Right. I mean, there are energies out there that might be supporting that or might not be right now, but it doesn't mean that you won't meet somebody. You know, we all have free will. So,
yeah, I've kind of viewed the energies that are happening around me as this kind of background flavor, this kind of background noise to my life. And sometimes it would be easier to do one thing as opposed to another. And at other times, the energies of the planets will really help with healing work that I'm doing. Like last year when everything was in retrograde and I was diving really, really deep and then reconstructing my energetic body, I think I couldn't have gone that deep without everything being backwards in that way. But that was my take on it. But looking at charts, like getting your astrology chart read, adds this whole other level to understanding your life's path.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting because there, when you're looking at somebody's chart and you're just reading a birth chart, when I read charts to people, I usually will give them some information. If they've never had a reading before, it'll be like, we'll go over their chart, the tendencies, and I'll also talk about, you know, what's happening. Here's some things to think about right now, because right now you're having, for instance, like you, Jessica, are having a Neptune transit over your moon. And so what does that mean exactly? It means
that how do you know that I am having this? You know, so this is different from what's happening in the planets right now in general for everyone.
Right.
This is, like, do you superimpose the current map of the heavens over my natal chart? Like, how do you get this?
Basically, yeah, exactly. So I look at the map of you when you were born, and then the planets keep moving around that map, right? They're moving in the sky. And when you have a planet that touches on one of your personal planets in your chart, then it sort of activates an energy and things happen. And I think when you're being conscious about the way that you live, you know, I think even if you're not, I mean, some people are, why does this keep happening to me over and over again? You know, I lost my car, I lost my house, and I think, you know, that's a wake up call. Maybe there's something going on with Saturn that's saying, it's time to grow up, you know, it's time to get responsible. Maybe you haven't been taking a look at your finances, or maybe, you know, maybe you've just been out there going crazy and, it's time to grow up. So when I look at a chart and I see a planet, you know, that's rotating around the earth right now, touching on somebody's personal planet, I say, oh, wow. Okay. Something's going on here. This starts a dialogue between us. So, you know, maybe I say to you, so Jessica, Neptune's on your moon right now.
Yes. What does that mean?
What does that mean? So, you know, I think maybe for you, this is a time of a little bit, you know, your feeling nature is affected, right? So this means you might have actually more sensitivity and to your environment for sure. And maybe you're becoming more compassionate, or your dreams have become more vivid. Or maybe if you're sort of riding on the lower side of the energy, you're feeling like, oh, I just want to check out, you know, like things are kind of, I feel all this heaviness of the world or whatever. And I just want to get in my bed and hide. You know, I can drink my night away or whatever. I mean, that's what Neptune sort of stands for, checking out. And it also so stands for connecting to, you know, your intuition or your sensitivities, you know, becoming more compassionate or artistic or having things like music affect you deeply, you know. That's what Neptune's about. And
I wonder when this started. I am a highly sensitive person and an empath and a psychic, and I'm pretty much always intuitive and I'm pretty much always having vivid dreams. But I notice that there are fluctuations in it. And sometimes things will just be much more vivid and it'll be like, wow, I am feeling things, I'm getting these downloads, I'm hearing the trees much more clearer. Other times I feel like I'm more shifting back towards the 3D, I'm more in the mundane, I'm not paying attention to those things as well. And they just it kind of fluctuates. And what has been happening for me over the last couple of weeks has been a realization of how sensitive I am, mm-hmm. and that I don't have to apologize for that or live my life in the ways that people who are not this sensitive live. And I picked up this book that a friend just gave me last weekend called The Empath Survival Guide, or A Survival Guide for Empaths, something like that.
Yeah.
He was talking about highly sensitive people and empaths. It was really helpful. And I kind of known this stuff, but I was like, wow, yeah, this book is really giving me permission to say no to things and mm-hmm. to not leave the house if I don't want to, and to not be around certain people and to not engage in things that are going to overwhelm me.
Yeah.
So that's kind
you
of
have
been
a very sensitive moon. I mean, your moon is in Pisces, and it does pick up on so much. And I think that because your moon sits in Virgo's house too, just like my sun sits in Virgo's house, mm-hmm. it's flavoring it differently. And actually, you know, Virgo and Pisces are opposite. So I think there's this groundedness for you, right? Like there's this grounding in reality, and then and then there's this other piece of you that sort of can dissolve into the
absolutely
into this otherworldly piece. You
that
know,
describes like, me so well. Yeah. I am both of those things at the same time, mm-hmm. all the time, and maybe that's why there's this fluctuations too, where I just dissolve and then I'm back.
Yeah,
and I really appreciate all of the Virgo in my chart and the ability to be so grounded and to get things done. It's really benefited me working for myself, mm-hmm. for so many years. Although it's also part of this thing I have that tells me I'm doing things wrong. Like that taskmaster, that nitpicky voice, will get out of control sometimes.
Yeah, I think when you, especially with the moon, I have Virgo moon too. And I always think, you know, that's, you know, if you have a Virgo sun, you're usually sort of nitpicky outwardly. And I mean, not always, I don't like to generalize, but I've noticed that people with Virgo moon have a tough time because it's all an internalized dialogue then. Mm. It's like, oh, you could have done that better. You should be better. Okay. You did, you know, I have these things that have to get done in a certain way. And, you know, you're not. I think you talked about this the other day. It's like nobody's watching over you. These are all that you're accountable to yourself for, you know? And it's like, oh my gosh, all of us with Virgo moons need to cut ourselves some slack here mm-hmm. and there, you know? So.
And I have been learning how to do that on a whole new level. Maybe that's Neptune. I'm curious what the dates are that this transit is happening.
Well, you've had Neptune actually, this gets into a whole different thing, but I'll just say it without explaining it too much.
Okay.
But you've had Neptune with you for a while now. And it's actually been squaring Uranus, the planet of, you know, action, you know, the freedom loving Uranus that brings insights and so I think with that, it's doing exactly what you were just saying. Like, you're being exposed to these parts of yourself that you were sort of a skeptic about, and it's opening you up to these sort of new dimensions. It's like, you know, Uranus has these breakthroughs, all of a sudden these insights that just come out of nowhere. And, and you know, when it's blended with Neptune, it's about sort of these otherworldly things like we're talking about, you know, it's like waking you up to that sensitivity and saying, I don't have to try to fit into an extroverted world. I can do this how I want to, you know?
Yeah. Interesting. There's been a lot of breakthroughs for sure in the last like year, and it feels like it does feel to me, and I wonder if this is reflective in the chart, that things have come to a climax. And I've shared on my Instagram and on this podcast before about this roommate situation that I had, mm-hmm. that brought up big healing for old trauma. And I had just taken a trauma healing workshop that gave me all the tools, and then this happened. And at the same time, a family member came to me within a week, and we did some other healing work for that person from their deepest, deepest traumas. And it's really been like nonstop, like every other day, some new revelation ever since. It might have been the trauma healing workshop that instigated it, or just like getting through the roommate situation. And for those who don't know, I moved into this house with a person who was, I guess, a rageaholic narcissist, we'll just to put it, to make a long story short, who was being super abusive to the master tenant and had this cat that she was neglecting and being very flippant about. And the cat was screaming all day long, and there was clearly something wrong with it. And so energetically, it perfectly recreated what it was like for me as a little girl living with a rageaholic narcissist dad who was abusing my mom, and my brother was being abused, and nobody knew about it or was doing anything about it. And so I had a nervous breakdown, but I was able to work with this program that had been created at the time, saying, just suffer in silence, just do whatever you have to do to make people happy, and you're going to survive. And I rewrote that programming and got through it and survived. And ever since, I guess, I proved that to my own inner psyche, it's been an explosion of other things releasing for the last, like, well, she just moved out a week ago. it's all been happening. So yeah, it's been, it feels like the grand finale, like the final exam of a lot of interior work that I've been doing for the past year.
Mm-hmm. I think part of that for you, just looking at your chart, is Uranus. I mean, we all are, Uranus just switched signs into Taurus, and, it went in there for a little bit last year. It stepped its toe in and then went back into Aries, and it's been cruising over your sun. And that, I think, is bringing you, it just got out of there in March. And I think that was bringing this little last bit to sort of awaken you as well there. You know, some Uranus stuff is definitely at play in your chart, in those epiphanies and those wake-up calls. And I think, you know, a lot of people are feeling that. I think the Neptune over your moon is something that's like just starting to come through for you. Mm-hmm. And will bring you actually some really great gifts in the work that you're doing. I think that your intuition will probably, I think some magic will happen with that.
I love magic.
I know.
Yay.
Maybe you'll be able to let go of some of the thoughts in your mind that hold you in a spot, you know, like we're talking about that sort of like Virgo bad verbiage that gets stuck in our minds, you know. It's about dissolving, and I think this might help. This is why it's good to know these things, you know. You can ride high on the energy as it's happening.
Yeah, and you, we had spoken before, and you had told me about my sun, which is in Aries, being in the house of Scorpio. Mm-hmm. And that really gave me a lot of insight. And it was right, I think, before I got into this roommate situation. And so you told me that Aries being the warrior, I really shine in situations where I am bringing light to the deep, dark depths and the things that are not okay and that have been shoved away that other people don't want to look at. Mm-hmm. If that... Yeah. Does that sound like what you had said?
Yeah, almost like sometimes what happens is people who are Scorpionic sort of get the projection. Like people project onto them and they like shine the light. It's very interesting. I've been noticing that more and more about people with strong Plutos or Scorpio in their chart. It's certainly been my case.
Well, it made sense to me. Not only was this whole thing, I think I called into my life to do this healing work, but this is why it bothered me too, to be in the house. And I could just, like, we have other roommates who ignored the whole thing. I could not ignore it. I could not just stand by and pretend that I'm okay with everything that was happening. And I felt like I have to say, I'm not okay with this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the big deal for Scorpio. They are the secret keeper. You know, like a lot of the time, even what you said about your family, like you're holding the secret, right? Of the things that happen. You are you're the witness. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, this is not okay.
Yeah.
You're the one to call it out.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about people who say none of this is real?
Maybe it's true.
Yeah. I mean, in their reality, it probably isn't real.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking about that, because I did have somebody the other day who, in a whole group of people who were very, very, interested and introspective. There was one person in the group that I was reading for who said, yeah, this could be nature versus nurture or whatever. And I agree, you know, I agree with all those things. It's like, astrology is not my religion. It's just something that it's like, I guess, you know, if there are signs and symbols in cards or on a piece of paper that sort of describe you and the energies around you, who cares what it is? You know what I mean? If it opens up something inside of you, it doesn't really matter. Mm.
Yeah, and those messages and those revelations can come through so many signs and symbols. So you're saying somebody said something about nature versus nurture, and were they not wanting to get their chart read?
I felt like she, like the person who I was talking to was closed. And maybe it was a little bit of fear, you know, like I don't want to open Pandora's box. So I'm going to sort of fold my arms and not let you in, you know? And that's okay. It's okay if people don't, you know, like they could have, you know, something I could say could could crack them open a little bit, and something else somebody else says could crack them open a little bit more. But I do think that sometimes when people are it's an absolute no for them. I think it's more about fear of not wanting to know yourself better for some reason.
It could also be about, well, there is definitely a myth that fortune tellers are liars and are just out there to get your money, and none of it is real, and you must be gullible if you buy into it.
Mm-hmm. And so letting your guard down is buying in some ways. And I'm definitely, I think both you and I are pretty grounded people. And
Virgos.
And my goal is always like, how can I help you? How can I help you? You know, I think that, I think that even I'm a skeptic of all professions, mm-hmm. but there is
me too at times.
Yeah. And it's like, what have you got? I think I always come at it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so beautiful. I too am just here to help and to help serve in, you know, whatever way is benefiting life. Yeah. Well, when I do my readings, I do not read the future for people, although sometimes I do, like I do year aheads, and it's for the purpose of giving people advice on these are the most likely energies that will be coming up to challenge or motivate you, and how do you want to set your intentions for the year, and what could you journal about in each month, and with any individual readings, like what's going on right now within you, without you, what is blocking you, why, how did you get here? What are you recommended to do moving forward? What are you recommended to call into your life? Reminding people that they are, that they have free will, and my work is, one of my key words is empowerment. I want to personally empower everybody. I think if everybody was, felt empowered to stand in their truth and to be who they are, we would not have the world that we have today, and it would change overnight. So many people are a part of a system that disempowers and disenfranchises them and harms them because they feel like they have no other choice but to participate, and they do these things that go against their good. They're good because they don't think that they have any other options. So I really, really, part of my mission, my ministry is to help people realize that they can actually create the life that they want and change these old stories and do this reparenting, this reprogramming.
And become more self-aware. I mean, I think that quite often people are reacting from old programming, sometimes stuff that they're not even necessarily aware of. And I
don't think they are aware, for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, who hasn't done that? Everyone has.
Right.
I think that for me, yeah, I agree with you. That is my mission as well. And bringing self-awareness to people, you know, it's like mm-hmm. when you're speeding down the freeway at 80 miles an hour, angry, wait a minute, what's going on? You know, like you're endangering your life. You're endangering other people's lives. It's a metaphor, you know, but it's just
I'm
like,
there with you.
How can we keep checking ourselves, keep checking in, what's happening to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, where oftentimes I'm coming from.
That's
because
so
I had
key.
A really reactive parent, and it, you know, watching mm-hmm. that as a sensitive person, it's just like, whoa, that maybe, you know, I worked really hard to be different around that, you know, mm-hmm. to not be reactive.
I was just posting about this on Instagram, I think yesterday, about, it was about taking responsibility, and it was the third chakra, but awareness is all about that. when we talk about awareness, it's, and changing this old programming, it's not to shame anybody or say that you've been doing something wrong, because yeah. you didn't know. Your subconscious was doing things, and there were energies that were holding vibrations within you that were calling in things that you had no idea about. Mm-hmm. You had no control in that state. And so you haven't done anything wrong. But now you get to realize what was happening and change it. And so it's all positive is the way that I hope that people receive that. Because it can sound shaming or confusing
yeah.
to talk about how, oh, you chose this life for yourself. You've been doing this. Like, you need to change your old patterns. You need to let go of what doesn't serve you anymore. It's like, what even is that? I thought I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of those behaviors are so painful to us too. You know, when you're running around acting on a behavior without being consciously aware of it. I tell you, you know, like, we're all going to do it our whole lives. This mm-hmm. is all work that we're always going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But not only can it hurt other people, but it hurts ourselves. It sort of keeps us stuck. And so
a lot of self-sabotage.
Yeah. I really want to help people get out of that cycle, you know, and live a better life for themselves, you know, and be empowered, like you say.
Amen. So how can people, find you and have you help change their life for the better?
Well, I have a website. It is katiesloanastrologer.com. And you can always email me there.
Great. So, yeah. Great. Well, thanks so much for meeting me and talking about this. This was really juicy, and I feel like we may meet again, not to foretell the future, but I think there's right. a lot more we could talk about here.
Definitely.
I think that's a safe one to predict.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. Well, thank you and take care.
All right. You too, Jessica.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.